Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, good evening, and praise the Lord, everybody. This is Apostle Dr. Deborah Deans with the End Time Men and Women of War Global Ministries, along with the Life Support Outreach Church and our prayer room ministry. So delighted this evening to be back on our radio broadcast for the study of the Word of God on tonight. I just give God all the praise and all the glory, all the honor tonight. God is such a good God. Hallelujah. He is so worthy to be praised. I thank and praise him just for this opportunity. We're going to get ready to have a short devotion. We're going to have a scripture, a song, and a prayer on tonight. Scripture reading will be coming from Psalms number 50. Psalms number 50. The mighty God, even the Lord, have spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God hath shined. Our God shall come and shall not keep silent. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very temperate round and about him. He shall call to the heavens from above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, and I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against I am God, even thy God. I will not reprove thee for thy sacrifices, or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I will take no bullock out of thine house, nor he goat out of thy fold, for every beast of the forest is mine, and the cattle upon a thousand hills. I know all the fowls of the mountain, and the world, and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I were hungry, I would not tell thee, for the world is mine, and the fullness thereof. I have just read you from Psalms 50, from the first verse down to the 12th verse. May God richly add a blessing to the doers of his most holy word. We're just going to have a song.
Thank you.
Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we come humbly before your throne of grace on tonight, God, asking you to forgive us for every known and unknown sin, Father, that we've committed against you in the mighty name of Jesus. Lord, I come confessing and repenting, asking for forgiveness and cleansing through the blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on tonight. Father, I just come tonight, God, just thanking and praising, worshiping you, God. In the mighty name of Jesus, I come lifting your name up, God, magnifying your name on tonight, God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I ask you right now to cover everyone under the sound of my voice on tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus, I ask you now, in the name of Jesus, to open up our hearts and our minds that we may receive your word, God. I ask you to let Deborah decrease, that the Holy Ghost may increase and minister to us on tonight. In the name of Jesus, Lord, have your way, God. Have your way tonight, God. Teach us, Holy Spirit. We just thank you, and we pray, and we ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen, amen, amen. So let it be. Amen. We're going to get ready for the reading of the Word of God.
Chapter 18, Judges. In those days there was no king in Israel, and in those days the tribe of the Danites sought them an inheritance to dwell in, for unto that day all their inheritance had not fallen unto them among the tribes of Israel. And the children of Dan set of their family, 5 men from their coast, men of valor, from Zorah and from Eshtahol, to spy out the land and to search it. And they said unto them, Go, search the land, who when they come to Mount Ephraim, to the house of Mecca, they lodge there. When they were by the house of Mecca, they knew the voice of the young man, the Levite, and they turned in hither and said unto him, Who brought thee hither, and what makest thou in this place, and what hast thou here? And he said unto them, Mecca with me, and have hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, Act counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall be prosperous. And he said unto them, Go in peace, for the Lord is your way wherein ye go. And the 5 men departed and came to Lachish and saw the people that were therein, how they dwelt careless, after the manner of the Zidianites, quiet and secure, and there was no magistrate in that land that might put them to shame in anything. And they were far from the Zonians, and had no business with any man. And they came into their brethren to Zorah and Eshtahol, and their brethren said unto them, Say ye. And they said, Arise, that we may go up against them, for we have seen the land, and behold, it is very good, and are ye still be not slothful to go, and to enter to possess the land. When ye go, ye shall come unto a people secure and to a large land, for God hath given it into your hand, a place where there is no want for anything that is in the earth. And there went from thence of the family of the Danites out of Zorah and out of Eshtahol, 600 men appointed with weapons of war. And they went up and pitched in Kirjath Jethro to Judah, wherefore they called the place Manahandan. Unto this day, behold, it is behind Kirjathaim, Kirjathaim. And they passed it unto Ephraim and came into the house of Machir. Then answered the five men that went to spy out the country of Lachish and said unto their brethren, do ye know that there is in these houses an ephod and a teraphim and a graven image and a molten image? Now therefore, consider what ye have to do. And they turned thither toward and came to the house of the young man, the Levite, even unto the house of Micah, and slaughtered him and saluted him. And the 600 men appointed their weapon of war, which were the children of Dan, stood by the entering of the gate. And the five men that went out to spy the land went up and came in thither and took the graven image and the ephod and the teraphim and the molten image. And the priest entering of the gate with his 600 men that were appointed with weapons of war. And these men went into Micah's house and fetched the carved image, the ephod, and the teraphim, and the molten image. Then said the priest unto them, what do ye? And they said unto him, hold thy peace, lie thine hand upon thy mouth, and go with us, and be to us as a father and a priest. Is it better for thee to be a priest unto the house of one man, or thou be a priest unto a tribe of a family of Israel? And the priest's heart was glad, and he took the ephod and the teraphim and the graven image and went in the midst of the people. So they turned and departed and put the little ones and the cattle and the carriage before them. And when they were a good way from the house of Micah, the men that were in the houses near Micah's house were gathered together and overtook the children of Dan. And they cried unto the children of Dan, and they turned their faces and said to Micah, what aileth thee that thou comest with such a company? And he said, ye have taken away my God, which I made, and the priests, and ye are gone away, and what have I more? And what is this that ye say unto me, what aileth thee? And the children of Dan said unto him, let not thy voice be heard among us, these angry fellows upon thee, and thou lose thy wife with lives of thy household. And the children of Dan went their way, and when Micah saw that they were too strong for him, they turned and went back unto his house. And they said, and they took the things which Micah had made and the priests which he had and came unto Lachish, unto the people that were at quiet secure, and they smote them with the edge of the sword and burnt the city with fire. And there was no deliverer, because it was far from Zidon, and they had no business with any man, and it was in the valley that lieth by Bethrehob. And they built a city and dwelt therein. And they called the name of the city Dan. after the name of Dan their father, who was born unto Israel. Howbeit the name of the city was Laish at first. And the children of Dan set up a graven image. And Jonathan, the son of Gershom, the son of Manasseh, he and his sons were priests to the tribe of Dan until the day nativity of the land. And they set them up, Micah's graven image, which he made all the time that the house of God was in Shiloh. The word of the Lord. Amen.
Chapter 19. And it came to pass in those days when there was no king in Israel that there was a certain Levite sojourning on the side of Mount Ephraim who took to him a concubine, out of Bethlehem, Judah. And his concubine played the whore against him and went away from him unto her father's house to Bethlehem, Judah, and was there 4 whole months. And her husband arose and went after her to speak freely unto her and to bring her again, having his servant with him and a couple of asses. And she brought him into her father's house. And when the father of the damsel saw him, he rejoiced to meet him. Father-in-law, the damsel's father, retained him. And he abide with him 3 days. So they did eat and drink and lodged there. And it came to pass on the 4th day, when they arose early in the morning, that he rose up to depart, and the damsel's father said unto his son-in-law, comfort thine heart with a morsel of bread, and afterward go your way. And they sat down and did eat and drink, both of them together. For the damsel's father had said unto the man, be content, I pray thee, and tarry all night, and let thine heart be merry. And when the man rose up to depart, his father-in-law urged him. Therefore he lodged there again. And he arose early in the morning on the 5th day to depart. And the damsel's father said, comfort thine heart, I pray thee. And they tarried until afternoon. And they did eat, both of them. And when the man rose up to the port, he and his concubine and his servant. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. And when the man rose up to the port, he and his concubine and his servant, his father-in-law, the damsel's father said unto him, behold, now the day draweth toward evening. I pray you tarry all night. Behold, the day groweth to an end. Lodge here, that thine heart may be merry. And tomorrow get you early on your way, that thou mayest go home. But the man would not tarry that night, but he rose up and departed and came over against Jebus, which is Jerusalem, and there were with him 2 asses saddled. His concubine also was with him. And when they were by Jebus, the day was far spent. And the servant said unto his master, come, I pray thee, and let us turn into this city of Jerusalem, of Jebusites, and lodged in it. And his master said unto him, we will not turn aside hither into the city of a stranger. This is not of the children of Israel. We will pass over to Geba or Jabi. And he said unto his servant, come and let us draw near to one of these places to lodge our night in Jabi or in Ramah. And they passed on and went their way. And the sun went down upon them when they were by Jabi, which belongeth to Benjamin. And they turned aside thither to go in and to lodge in Jabi. And when he went in, he sat him down in the street of the city, for there was no man that took him into his house to lodging. And behold, there came an old man from his work out of the field at even, which was also of Mount Ephraim, and he sojourned in Jabi, but the men of the place were Benjamites. And when he had lifted up his eyes, he saw a wayfaring man in the street of the city. And the old man said, whither goest thou, and whence comest thou? And he said unto him, we are passing from Bethlehem, Judah, toward the side of Mount Ephraim. From thence am I, and I went to Bethlehem, Judah, but I am now going to the house of the Lord, and there is no man that receiveth me to house. Yet there is both straw and provender for our asses, and there is bread and wine also for me and for thy handmaid, and for the young man which is with thy servant. There is no want of anything. And the old man said, peace be with thee. Howsoever, let all thy wants lie upon me. Only lodge not in the street. So he brought him into his house and gave provender unto the asses, and they washed their feet and did eat and drink. Now as they were making their hearts merry, behold, the men of the city, certain sons of Belial, beset the house. Belial.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The sons of Belial beset the house round about and beat at the door, and spake to the master of the house, the old man, saying, bring forth the man that came into thine house, that we may know him. And the man, the master of the house, went out unto them, and said unto them, nay, my brethren, nay, I pray you, do not so wickedly, seeing that this man is come into mine house. Do not this folly. Behold, here is my daughter, a maiden, and his concubine. Them I will bring out now, and humble ye them, and do with them what seemingly good unto you. But unto this man, do not so vile a thing. But the men would not hearken to him. So the men took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. Then came the woman in the dawning of the day and fell down at the door of the man's house where her lord was, till it was light. And her lord rose up in the morning and opened the doors of the house and went out to go his way, and behold, the woman, his concubine, was falling down at the door of the house, and her hands were upon the threshold. And he said unto her, up and let us be going. But none answered. Then the man took her up upon an ass, and the man rose up and got him unto his place. And when he was come unto his house, he took a knife and laid hold on his concubine and divided her together with her bones, 12 pieces, and sent her into all the coast of Israel. And it was so that all that saw it said, there was no such thing done nor seen from the day that the children of Israel came up out of the land of Egypt until this day. Consider of it, take advice, and speak your mind. The word of God for the people of God. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Both of these are very good lessons tonight. And I don't know about you, but we're getting ready to answer these questions. And before we start answering questions, I don't want anyone just blurting out. You can say, may I say this, or can I say something? Don't blurt out. Nobody. Amen. The first question, we don't have but two questions in chapter 18. What was the spies from Dan on their way? What were the spies from Dan on their way to do when they stopped at Michael's house? What was they going to do?
May I answer?
Yeah.
First one, were they sought out an inheritance, a place that they needed to dwell?
Well, something like that, yeah. They were going to stop. Uh-huh.
Miss Yvonne, can I speak?
Yeah.
I think they were going to scope out the land. I think that's right.
Mm-hmm. And both of you all are right, because they were going to spy out the land for their inheritance. That's what they was going to do. They was looking for an inheritance, their inheritance. Mm-hmm. And we'll talk more about, we're going to go back to chapter 18, when we finish answering all these questions. Anybody else have an answer for 18, for the first one? Okay, number two, later, what did the men of Dan convince Michael's priest to do? You can just say your name if you're getting ready to say something.
Did say verse 18 where they were to go with them and be their father and a priest to them.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's in verse number 5 of 18. I think. I think it's in verse number 5. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way we can. That's not it. it's not it. I don't know how I got that. But it's right around in there because they was asking him, would he come counsel with them? Let me try it again. And he said unto them, thus and thus deal Micah with me and have hired me, and I am his priest. And they said unto him, ask counsel, we pray thee, of God, that we may know whether our way which we go shall we be prosperous. So they were telling him to come go with them so they'll know their way. And so, and they felt like if they had the man of God with them, they would go the right way or do, or they'll be blessed in where they was going, I guess. Anybody else have anything on that? Okay. We're going to go on into chapter 19 because we got to come back and just kind of summarize this stuff up. What town did a Levite and his concubine stop in from for the night in chapter 19?
Jebus, but it was supposed to be Jerusalem. That's verse 10.
13. Verse 13. No, it's not. Wait a minute. But to me, they stopped in a couple of different places overnight. Did you see that?
Right. That's what I was trying to say. They stopped in a few places. Because I know Jesus in Jerusalem was one of them. And then verse 13
was Jebia. In Benjamin. It wasn't Ramah.
Yeah.
It was Benjamin.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It was Benjamin. That's where they stopped at overnight, but they stopped two or three different places. Let's get to this next one. What happened to the man's concubine?
Oh, they did her dirty. So I got to say my name, Apostle.
Yes, ma'am.
Hey, this is Prophet is Ray Martin. And they did her, they abused her all night, verse 25. But the men would not hearken to him, so the man took his concubine and brought her forth unto them, and they knew her and abused her all the night until the morning. And when the day began to spring, they let her go. That was really sad. I feel like they did her wrong.
They did. They really did. Anyone else have anything on that?
Prophet Brown.
Mm-hmm.
They were the sons of Bela, and these guys seem to be some really ruthless, wicked guys. And that's why they had the heart and the mind to be able to do that to this concubine.
Really? That's something. That was really something. Okay. What did the man do with his concubine after this? Ooh. Jesus.
Wow.
Right.
Prophet Martin again. He cut her up. I'm thinking he cut her up because it say he took her. I'm just going to read it. It say, and when he was come unto his house, he took a knife and laid hold of his concubine and divided her together with her bones into 12 pieces and sent her into all the coasts of Israel. So do that mean he cut her up?
Yeah, cut in 12 pieces.
Wow.
So why do you think these things was allowed? Anybody?
This is Prophetess Lisa Harris in St. Louis.
Okay.
This story always disturbed me too, but from my understanding, the husband of the concubine did that because it was such a treacherous thing. And he wanted to send, I guess, proof to each tribe of this horrible thing that had been done as a witness against this land and these people that did this to his wife.
Okay. That's good. That's good.
I was looking at verse 30, and it was that all, and so it was that all who saw it said, no such deed has been done or seen from the day that the children of Israel came up from the land of Egypt unto this day. Consider it, confer, and speak up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was wicked. But this is the book of Judges. So we can say in the book of Judges, it was almost, they didn't have a king. So they had judges, and it was just about like you living without the law. Because if it had been a law there, they wouldn't have been able to do that. But it was no law in the land. And that's what we have to remember. You know, they did the lady bad, yes, but they was going to do that man even worse. Because they came for the man, not even the woman. You know, they had to be wicked. There had to be some wicked stuff. He asked for the men like they was in Sodom and Gomorrah. Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah.
So it was very wicked what they did to her. And to me, it's just me now. I don't think the husband should have gave his concubine or his wife. But she was playing the harlot. I mean,
Prophet Brown, I have a question. Maybe I misunderstood it, but tell me if I'm wrong, Apostle. I thought the master, the old man of the house that the husband and the concubine were staying in, I thought he was the one who was kind of orchestrating everything with his son and gave his concubine. I also thought that that the husband, it seemed like he was maybe prideful, or he was hurt, or he was in fact disgraced, because like after this man got through with her, he didn't want her anymore or something. And I mean, it was still evil and wicked what he did to her, but I was feeling like he felt like she was useless to him after that point.
Well, it was a lot of wicked stuff going on because they didn't have a king, you see, and God allowed this to happen. you know, he allowed this. He didn't have to let all of this go on, but he allowed this to happen because Israel always turned on him. So he allowed it to happen. And, you know, they had a problem with trying to decipher what was wrong and what was right. It was something. I just, as you know, we go on reading, we only have two more chapters, but these judges really, to me, didn't do as much as I think they should have, but I guess they did as much as God allowed them, because even when the last week when we talked about Samson, you know, he delivered Israel, killed a lot of people doing this. So this was a book, this book right here, it's an important book, but it went, you know, these days was the days to me of evil and wickedness right here. Because you take a man's whatever she was, wife, concubine, whatever it was, and you abuse her all night because you can go to bed with a husband. I don't get it. And see, this where all this gay stuff come from. It's nothing new under the sun. They not just start having this stuff. They was having it back in the days of Caesar and all that kind of stuff. It's not new. It's nothing new in this world. Nothing. So, to me, this book meant that you was just judged, but you didn't get punished. Now, listen, God would send a deliverer. He did send Samson, but who did he send this time? This man cut this lady up in 12 pieces, and like Prophetess Harris was saying, maybe he sent it to let them see this what happened to her. They killed her. But to me, it was just as much his fault as theirs, because if they were trying to have sex with him, you know what they was going to do to a woman. A man is much more stronger than a woman. She couldn't fight him off. He shouldn't have sent her over there. And those men were very wicked, evil and unruly, I'm telling you. Does anybody have this? Do you understand this chapter, these chapters? Do you have any questions?
Apostle Dr. Deborah?
Yes, ma'am.
This is Prophetess Lisa Harris. I did see some footnotes that chapter 19, verse 22, it says perverted men, but it literally the sons of Belial. So it's indicating that these were sons of Satan, sons of perdition, and they had a wicked spirit.
Yeah.
So, and it sounded like they were such an outrage in defense of her husband, because the man of the house that was hosting them, he offered his own virgin daughter and this woman, but it looked like they just ended up taking the man's wife or this concubine and abusing her. And then verse 26 and 27 says that by the time she made it back to the door, and by the time the master of the house opened the door, and he thought she was just, you know, exhausted and realized that she, you know,
dead.
Had already,
mm-hmm.
Yes, ma'am, yes. It's just such a horrible crime. But, yeah. So I just wanted to point out that they were sons of Belial. You know, they were evidently overtaken by wicked spirits in this particular land right here. Well, they found them, you know. And, yeah.
And Michael and Dan tried, they went somewhere else to live in another place after that happened. Stay there. Because that was terrible.
And I'm...
Yes, that was terrible.
And I was trying to figure out, how did he get separated from the tribe of Dan? Because the tribe of Dan, they chased off Micah's tribe, you know. So if they would have been together, it seemed like they could have. So I was just kind of wondering about that.
Yeah, well, that's the life without law in the book of Judges. They didn't have any law there because they didn't have a king. You know, so that's the way it is when you don't have somebody over you. And they knew God was there. They always know God is with them all the time. I don't know. But they did go to Bethel and ask for God's help. They in the fighting and stuff, but they needed to actually help with these men. So do anyone else have anything tonight?
In defense of Israel, I see, did we do chapter 20?
No. No, that's next. That's
oh, okay. Her honor was offended, her honor was defended.
Mm-hmm.
What happened to her dad? What happened to the damsel's father?
You know, they
suggested that they went to this place.
Yeah, they was in another. I don't know what happened to him, but he probably was upset when he found out. I know he found out. But in that place, that's what they was doing. They practiced homosexual practices in that place. I'm telling you, they didn't really want that woman. That's why they abused her like they did. They wanted that man. Then, you know, my heart just go out. I don't care if she was a prostitute. You know, God still loved her too in the way they did that thing. So we're not going to, if that's, you know, it was good to me. And I can say this, you know, we have come from Genesis up to Judges, and it's been really, really informative when we ask questions. If you don't understand, you ask questions, and we talk about it and discuss it. But it's very important that we understand before we move on to the next chapter. You know what I'm saying? Because through it now, so everybody can understand. This is why we're going through the Word of God, so we can learn. If we don't learn but one thing out of that chapter, at least we've learned something. And that's why I say in those days they practiced homosexuality. And that's why they was demanding, just like it was in Sodom and Gomorrah, where they demanded the angels, the God, the man at the house, send the men out, but they were angels that they was talking about. And so they was worse as those in Sodom and Gomorrah, I'm telling you. So it's something. But when you don't have
Devil.
A law.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt.
It's okay.
So what was always curious about this story to me, well, what I'm looking at tonight, it's like it says that she, in verse 19, that his concubine played the harlot against him and went away from mm-hmm. him to her father's house at Bethlehem in Judah.
Mm-hmm.
And was there, so she was actually in a good place. She was at her father's house, and I'm like, well, where was she playing the harlot? Because it doesn't say any more about her story. And so I don't know if they saying played the harlot because she was married and she shouldn't have left her husband, and that's why she was, or that's what she had to go through to get back to her father. I was just wondering about that, you know.
Well, all I know is she played the harlot and when it ended up, because, you know, God loves all of us and he hates our sins. And when we doing it willingly, anything can happen. Anything can happen. So, you know, when you keep on sinning and you keep on sinning and you keep on willfully sinning, you turn you over to a reprobate mind. He could have stopped what was happening. That's why I was saying he allowed that to happen. So, you know, he turned over to a reprobate mind. Well, if you want to keep doing this, go ahead, because when that happened and when you just willfully sin over and over again, it's just like death, because he takes his hands off of you. You're not covered up anymore. You out there doing what you want to do without God. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about, and it's something to learn from. Even though he saved some that want to be saved, the ones that just willfully sinning over and over every day, sin leads to death. Any kind of way you look at it, it leads to death. Mm-hmm. So, it's good. So, on Thursday morning, we're going to have the early morning prayer with Prophet Paris. I forgot to do it this morning. Yeah, just charge it to my head. Don't charge it to my heart. I was out a lot of it. But we're going to do it on Thursday morning, 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time, with this very same number on the radio broadcast. We're just going to have, she's going to pray. And we pray, a different person prays a month. A different person prays early morning prayer. But they don't have to be early. It could be at noon. That person picks the time that they want to pray in the day. So, but the prophetess Harris picked Tuesday morning at 6 o'clock Central Time, 7 o'clock Eastern Time. So we want to support her on Thursday morning. And I will be on the live broadcast in the morning for the live, for the wake-up call. So,
amen.
I thank and praise God for that. Well, we're going to get ready to close out. It's 8:30. And we do this. We have our Bible class 1 hour. We don't really go over too much. We discuss it until time to close out. But, yeah. Okay. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just thank you tonight for opening up our understanding, God. We just thank you for teaching us on tonight. Father, I ask you to cover everyone under the sound of my voice tonight, God. Bless their families, their homes, their vehicles, God, in the name of Jesus. And Father, allow us to apply this word to our life, whatever part that's necessary to be applied, God, in the name of Jesus, and bless us with this word that we can somebody else one day, Father, in the name of Jesus. Lord, I just thank you. I praise you. I ask all these things in Jesus' name and for your glory. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So let it go. God bless you all. We will see you on the live in the morning. By the grace of God, we live and none happen. God bless you all. And for the newcomers that's studying with us, God bless you on tonight. You all have a good night.
You have a good night.
Good night.
Amen. God bless everyone. Bye-bye.
Good night.
Good night.